Growing the Game with Ballsy is a podcast dedicated to growing the game of football in Saskatchewan. Each week, Michael Ball will talk with Rider guests, but he'll also highlight amateur athletes, coaches, and builders in this province growing the game we love. Now, here's Ballsy.
And the Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair at 2337th Avenue here in Regina. Go see Alan Mann and Joe Cardiff and the gang over there. They're doing great work in the auto body industry. A guy that did great work in the Canadian Football League for a number of years, and Rider fans love him to death. It's number 97, John Chick. Retired John Chick. Has it sunk in yet, big man?
No. You know, I have a neighbor that's retired, and he tells me every day Saturday. It doesn't quite feel like that, but it's been an adjustment here for a couple weeks. But we're at peace, and it's been a blessed career, and looking forward to getting to be, maybe a little better husband and father.
When did you know it was over for you? Some point during the season last year? When did you decide it was done?
No. I'm still not, fully decided. What I do know, what I've been discerning and trying to make peace with is, my wife and kids, my kids are older. My oldest kids, anyway, are to a point where the back and forth is more tolling on them than it's good for them. And we've been trying to find something for stability for them. And so we had made a decision about a year ago that this last season would be the last time that they would travel up north. And it's just because, I've had my oldest boy signed up in football four different times, and because of releases, trades, all those kind of things, has yet to play a season. Yeah. And so when we know it's more about them, we made that decision. And so I've been trying to make peace with, hey, 6 months, we can make it work. I can get back on a bye week and here and there. My wife is expecting in July.
Yep.
And, we've been trying to make peace with that. And it didn't come. And with our faith background, we just, as much as we'd like that direct line of communication from the big guy upstairs,
yep.
He has blessed us with the Holy Spirit, and he works in ways that, if you don't have that peace, I think that's him speaking. And in not only that, but how it affects my vocation as husband and father, how it would affect my wife's vocation as mother, now having to be father, we just know that for a time, the best thing for us was that I'd be here and we move forward with what we have here.
So it seems to me listening to you, John, that you obviously you've been a family guy, so you're picking family first, which is great. That's easy to hear there. But it sounds to me like you're like every athlete, you're struggling with walking away from the field per se, because there's nothing that replaces playing in front of 30 or 40,000 fans, at least immediately.
There isn't. No, there's nothing that will replace that. You knew me when I was training there in Regina. I'm still doing that. I have 9 clients at the moment, people that are close to me. I got, football-specific athletes. I got some personal training. I got some fitness clients, and I'm loving every second of that. I've got one league going, and I'm just going to do more of that. I hope to fill all my times. Get into coaching when I can. I don't know that that's the best, most immediate next step, but I can't wait to be part of the game of football always. And right now, when I'm with my football athletes, I'm having the time of my life because I'm doing what I love. I get in the mix as well. Hey, let me get my shot and get you better that way. And so I'm getting a little bit of fix, but no, there's nothing like coming out of the tunnel and playing on, whether it's Saturdays, whatever day it is, nothing that beats that. So I'm always going to be ready. We're moving forward because that is my duty at the time, what I believe is answering the call I'm supposed to at the moment. But, and I would imagine every athlete deals with this. It's not, I don't feel like I've left anything undone, mm-hmm. but I've been blessed and expect to be ready whenever, whether it's for the flag football league here locally or whatever it is. I got to get my competitive fix one way or another.
Somebody gets an injury, John Chick, and they need a veteran guy for a playoff push. Would you come up in a pinch?
I'll be open for discussion. Absolutely,
John. It'll be nice, I guess, to finally get your son registered in football and see a football season with him playing.
Absolutely. It's brought a great peace to our family just knowing that they know that they get to invest more in their friends and their activities, and that we already got them signed up for summer things that they know they're going to get to do, fall things that they know they're going to get to do, and that has brought an over not only them but as mom and dad a piece to us that we haven't had. So we're very blessed by that. And you know, the rest, we, you know, I know I got to do my part, but we trust the Lord will provide.
John Chick joining us here on the Growing the Game podcast. What did you like best about football? What do you like best about football? What do you hope your son can learn from the game?
Oh man, that is a 3-day talk. Honestly, one day I'd like to write on it, because you know, when I was young, I used to get really annoyed with a football's life type of term. But you can learn more about life from football than anything else. The getting knocked down, getting back up, it's against, you know, it's not you against your opponent. It's you against you. You know, all those kind of things, and they're true. And so I love the preparation for the game. I love the moment they're coming out of the tunnel, the very first play of the game when you got to, you know, you have all this anxiety or whatever it is, and then you get into the game, and now it's just normal business, and it never changes. No matter how prepared you think you are, it's just always an changing, evolving game, and no matter what type of athlete you are, it is a complete team game. I love that aspect of it. There's not just one guy that's going to get it done. It requires from the head to the least significant, all in from everybody. And when you the teams that are closest to getting that is the teams that usually win it. Got to be part of those a couple times, and it is the most special thing in the world, because it did. You can look back. I have significant memories of those teams, just looking across the board of everyone who bought in, what it was like to be in the locker room, a teammate, a friend of those people. It's just special from that way. I love rushing the passer, so you know, I give a number of moves of, you know, developing my move, not only practicing in the off season, but then preparing for your opponent during the week, and then real life aspect of, you know, sometimes you got the look you expected and you clean them, and then all of a sudden, oh shoot, someone else dressed out, or this guy, you know, he came with a different plan, and so changing that, but always that trying to beat that one-on-one matchup and going and killing the quarterback. You know, that
how does a guy like you, that's faith-based, John Chick, and that's we've heard you mention Holy Spirit and God and family and all that stuff, how do you flip the switch on a Saturday or a Friday or a Sunday and, quote, go kill the quarterback? How do you do that?
Well, we're padded, and it's a game at the end of the day. So it's, you know, it is intense, and it is. You know, there's injury. I've had my share of injuries and been blessed the last number of years without. But I don't think most guys, that's their intent. But it is being your best. And for me, that is beating the guy in front of me and going tackling this guy. And same with him. You know, it's mano a mano. So, you know, it it is a switch. Hard to explain, but it is, given everything you were blessed with and given it your all in that moment to do what you're coached to do. And, you know, whether, you know, hate to compare it to war, because there are guys that are truly giving their lives for our countries, which is nothing compares to that. But the second rate, what we get to do is the next closest thing. The lives on the line, it is wins and it's championships and things like that. And then not only that, but the fans that are into that mix and how you can lift up an entire city by a W as compared to a loss, you know, it's just amazing.
Yeah.
So that all goes, but it is a blessing, a skill that I've been blessed with that, you know, more or less how I convince myself is, shoot, you got to look at the battles and things like that, is use the talents that were given to you, and those were the talents. And so
yeah.
Even though it involved, quote-unquote, killing a quarterback, at the end of the day, many of the quarterbacks that I've tackled over the years are close personal friends of mine, and it's all competition-based. So.
Okay, John, I got to ask you this. John Chick joining us in the Growing the Game podcast. If you could replay one play or replay one game right now, you could be on the field and be in that moment. What moment, what play, what game would it be? Does one stick out in your mind?
Well, all of us of Rider Nation, 2009 was as fun a season as I can ever remember. And it finished the way it did, and that's it. But I wish that we could have that one moment back. And it's never just that one moment. I wish we could have some of that back to finish the way that team deserved, and the coaches, the fans, all of it. Nonetheless, that is still a special, that whole year and that game is still a very special memory in my mind that I'll carry with me, because it went against all odds, and nothing about the things we did there were traditional, we were against the grain, and we weren't most talented, any of those kind of things, but it was just that buy-in from the team. I wish we could have finished the way everyone deserved for it to finish. That is one up. A personal, there are numbers. Every game, even your best games, that's the one cool thing and also the sad thing about tape. You know, it's never as bad as you think it is, and it's never as good as you think it is. So every time you get to the film, it's like, this or that, I wish I could have just done that. There are more than I can think of or count right now that, man, this little moment here, this little moment there, I wish I could have back. Mm. So I know that didn't fully answer your question, but you always wish you could. And, again, that goes for the three sack games and things like that. With the W, all of it, you still watch film in those games and you see missed opportunities. And so, obviously, once you get into playoffs and those kind of things, some of them have more weight.
So for a guy that's got nine kids, John Chick, or ninth kid on the way, right? It's nine, right?
Yes.
Yeah, talk about a Western producer. Anyway, you got John Chick, about to have his ninth kid. So this might be kind of one of those questions, like picking your favorite child. But which Grey Cup meant more to you, 07 or winning right here on home turf in 13?
I don't know I do have one, but I don't know if it's, I don't know what I should say.
Why not? Say it.
Both are at the top. Both are at the absolute top. Where I was at in my life in 2007, I just the year before got cut from an NFL team. Things didn't go how I thought they should have, and was on a team, in my opinion, a blue-collar team. average team, team that if you just look at players alone, we're not championship caliber. You know, just honest. And that's how the fans picked it. That's how the announcers, the media, they all picked it. And we were underdogs. And you know, I don't like the whole underdog thing, but that's what it was. It was a me against the world type of environment. But within that locker room, within, you had 100% buy-in, and the number one principle in it, which is a big part of my life, was belief. And you had everyone, and again, you had all different personality types, all different types of background, all that kind of stuff. But you had a way that everyone believed and bought in. And I remember that, and it might be the naiveness of being a rookie, but what I remember about it is that belief, that feeling, transcended into something much bigger than any one individual or anybody on that team, to a point where in many of those games that we were behind throughout the year, and most of them we were, you knew that you were going to win the game, and you knew that you were going that you believed that you were going to be the one to make the play, but you knew someone was. And that's what I remember most. And again, that might be the young, innocent rookie in me, but that was the pureness of football that I loved and continued to seek, was to get that buy-in. And we did have it again in 2009 and 2013. But that, the weight of that game, had it been since 89, since he had won the last one. So everything that went into that, the whole encompassing of, you know, ending the drought, being those underdogs, the complete buy-in of, you know, 90 individuals, you know, not to mention the heads of the organization, all those kind of things. That's why that one stands out more to me. And then again, your playoff run, you know, it was almost an expectation, which is another cool thing, in 13, that this was going to happen. And we expected. So there's something cool and pure about that as well. But I loved the fact that we had guys that weren't supposed to win, and then we had to go on the road in each of those playoff games and still get it done. And in the Grey Cup, which we were underdogs, and still get it done. You know, and that's what was fun about it. Yeah. Nothing will replace the memories. You know, I have pictures of my kids in the confetti at a home Grey Cup. Nothing will replace those memories and the bonds within that team as well. But just, you know, comparing the two on each other, it was more difficult in 07. Yeah. Had more to overcome. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sure we're gonna see you, John Chick, talking to us live from Florida here, St. John, Florida, right by Jacksonville. John, last question for you. We're gonna see you again, I'm sure. Maybe doing some speaking engagements up here. Maybe Plaza of Honor in the future. I'm sure you'd love to be involved with that. But right now, what would you like to say to Rider Nation as the last thing to say to them here as you retire and walk away from the game of football?
Oh man, I loved you when I first met you. When I got there, you guys welcomed me and my family. What a blessing. At that time, had one, my number two was on the way, was born before the Grey Cup. Had three children born there, and just the way you accepted us, me and my family, you know, is unreplaceable. The what you mean to football, the way you bleed for your team, eat, live, and sleep football. There's something special there that, you know, as close as it can be replicated, is just not. The energy, everything. So it just was a special time. Will always be part of my memory. I'm going to do everything I can to stay part of Rider Nation in retirement because of that pureness of the love for football. And regardless, you all know as well as I the tough years that you had, and the love that you maintained for your team. There's just nothing that compares. So Thank you tremendously from the bottom of my heart, my wife's heart, my children's heart. Fond memories, great friendships, just people that we will stay connected with forever. So God bless you, and thank you for my time in Saskatchewan.
That's John Chick on the Growing the Game podcast. The Growing the Game podcast brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. If you've had an uh-oh and want it perfect again, better get Mako Collision Repair, 2337th Avenue. Joined now by former rider Drake and my partner on the Rider Radio Network, Mike McCullough. How are you, Mike?
Good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on. Okay, so talk about this walk going on in honor of your son.
Yeah, it's a charity walk. It's been going on for a number of years now in London, Ontario. And it's kind of my wife's baby now. We both kind of took turns doing it, but she's done the last 5 or 6 years, and it's just a little charity walk to help raise money to cure Duchenne muscular dystrophy, which is what my son Cole had and when he passed away at the age of 3.5. So we've been doing it for a number of years, and I think we've probably raised somewhere over $100,000 easily. My wife's just a beast when she's fundraising for our son.
Yeah, you know, It's a nice way to honor your son and to take something negative and turn it into a positive.
Oh, for sure. You know, it's keeping his memory alive and just, you know, so people who knew him, you know, kind of remind him. And, you know, I know he's not forgotten, but, you know, life goes on, and it's been almost, you know, getting over to 10 years since we lost him. You know, it's time flies, and you don't want people to forget. And it's also a way for us to try to keep him in our thoughts and our everyday as well.
Mike, does time heal?
Does time heal? No, I just say time doesn't heal. You just with time, you just get used to it. It's your new norm. So no, it doesn't heal.
Yeah, no, I can't imagine. Do your other kids get pretty pumped for this walk and taking part in it as a whole McCullough family?
They know about it, and they know, you know, they talk about Cole regularly, and only my two older boys were only, I think, 14 months and 2 months when he passed. So they don't really know him. My two younger ones weren't even alive, but they feel like they know him, and they talk about him a lot. But the walk, we've talked about it, and they kind of understand it. But in time, I'm hoping that eventually we can all fly back to London just at the end of May every year and do the walk as a family. So it's a long walk, though. It's 33 kilometers, so it can be a bit of a daunt. It's not a run, it's a walk, but even walking 33K, it's a lot.
So 33K, sorry, what's the significance of 33K? Is there a significance behind that?
Yeah, the founder of Jesse Journey, which is the charity we do it for, yeah. John Davidson, his son was also diagnosed with, we call it DMD, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, and he walked across Canada over a span of 10 months at the age of 54, I believe, and he averaged 33 kilometers a day.
Wow. I know you work out pretty hard there with a bunch of former riders, so you should be able to do the 33K.
Well, I can do it. I do it a pretty good clip, but you're sore. So, I mean, it's shocking that you know, someone in their early 50s could do it for 10 months straight. Like, it's definitely some dedication and some willpower that I think a lot of people don't have.
Yeah, Mike, if somebody wants to get involved in terms of donating money, is there a way they can go about doing that?
Yeah, you can just go on to jessiesjourney.com, and you can see the Walk for Duchenne, and you can donate just regularly, or you can find my wife's page, Laura McCullough, and you can donate for our son Cole there.
What are you coaching these days now?
We got flag. Well, starting up at the end of this month, we got flag and then soccer. So two flag teams and a soccer team.
Wow, that's busy. Keeps you going.
I know a lot about soccer.
About as much as you know about hockey, though, right? You're not a
and probably football now. I feel like the kids pass me by. I feel like I barely know anything. But as long as they're 6 years old, they think I know what I'm talking about. So it works out well.
That's hilarious. Okay, lastly, what do you think of what's happening in Rider Nation here in the off season?
I like most of the moves. You know, got better quality Canadians. Got some possible starters there. Caleros. I mean, we got a dangerous team. There's not many things have gone on that I haven't agreed with or disliked. I'll tell you that. I like most of the moves they've done, and I think they're right now on paper, which is always dangerous to say. They're definitely one of the contenders or one of the main contenders.
Yeah, it is always dangerous to say that, though, right? You're kind of like, it feels like still the road goes through Calgary.
Yeah, for sure, I think. But, you know, with all the guys, we've got loaded up. And, you know, any team, including ours, is only one or two injuries away from having a horrible season. And a lot of times that's what it kind of banks on is the health of your team. But we've got a lot of depth, and like I said, a lot of quality Canadians. And if you have a quarterback, especially, you know, he struggled a couple of years, but he's shown he's probably one of the elite young quarterbacks. I like the move.
That's Mike McCullough, Growing the Game podcast here. Thanks for this, Mike.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Baldy. Thanks for the support.
Here with Len Antonini with Regina Minor Football. And coming up here, Len, you've got something for the girls out there. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we got it's called Girls in the Game. It's going to be a day where they come out and they get to try the equipment on and they get to go through, catching the football, taking a handoff, a little bit about tackling and that type of thing. So we do have quite a few girls that play, you know, but we want to get more involved, more girls involved with the game now.
Do you see that's an area where we can grow this game, Len? As, I talked to Jason Shan out there and, of course, at Musiman, and I've talked to, the guys in Melville with John Svensson, and they're kind of growing the female aspect of their game. How about here with the RMF?
Yeah, we want to grow the game. Like we want to get the girls playing. You know, with the Riot here in town, the Riot are going to be involved with this, and they're going to help us out with it. With the Riot being involved, and some girls starting to play, you know, football at the high school level, and they have played, you know, at all the different levels. We want them to get a real feel for it. And what we've done too with this one is we've added a couple hours before we're going to do we're going to call it Football 101, where the parents. Not only of the girls, but any parents can come and you know learn some things about football. So you know if you don't know a whole bunch about it, we got a bit of a program before for them to come and sit down and learn some things about the game of tackle football.
It's funny, hey, in this province we have a lot of rabid football fans, but a lot of them don't know the game. They love the game, but they don't know it.
Yeah. You know, the game is so diverse with tackle football. You know, it's for kids of every size and every shape. And, you know, they have a lot of different positions and a lot of different assignments. And people get to learn, learn what's really going on the field. And you know, then you get to know, that the different positions that the different guys actually play at the CFL level as well.
What's the cost for the camp, Len, just to reiterate? And how do they get involved?
Well, for the girls, it's $25 if they want to, if they want to be involved with the 4-hour clinic that we're putting on, and that's more just to be committed. You know, they get a lunch with that, so we're not gouging anybody. The 101 football class is free for the parents, so they can go online at www.reginaminorfootball.ca and learn, register there. You know, and if they have any questions, they can always contact our office.
And in terms of the Spring League, that's firing up soon. You got registration well underway for that?
Oh, yeah. Spring League, we've got more kids registered for Spring League this year. We got over 250 kids registered for the ID camp and Spring League evaluations. So, it's something that, we're really jacked about that. You know, we there's lots of concerns about the concussion thing, and people are worried that, tackle football is a problem sport. But to be honest with you, the knowledge that we've learned about concussions and the protocols that we have in place and everything, we're looking after the kids, and it's a big important thing to us to look after the kids. And this Spring League, is just an example that kids still want to play. And like I say, with the diversity of the different sizes of all the kids, everybody gets an opportunity to play and contribute to a team atmosphere. And it's great for not only their physical body, but it's good for their mental mind as well. So we're really happy with the Spring League.
Len, I don't want to diminish concussions because I've got a kid playing, so I'm obviously concerned about the health of kids, as you are. But I have to snicker when I watch the news and see some of these ex-players, and the first thing that goes wrong in their life, they're blaming things on concussions. They, it's like everything, I took drugs or I did this or I beat my wife, and now all of a sudden it's because I had concussions playing football. That's, to me, it's an easy excuse. I want to see the data here, since the game has changed and better coaching and safer practices. I want to see the data maybe 20 years from now on the guys that are playing now, just to see how things have changed.
Yeah, well, I take a look at it. I've been involved in football since I was 8 years old, and I've been involved with Regina Minor Football running it the last 25 years. And you know, we have Adam H players and we have PWH players, and I don't see, you know, I don't see a whole bunch of head-to-head contact like, you know, like they talk about and all these concerns. We don't have a whole bunch of concussions, and you know, with our protocols and our you know, the education that we give our coaches and the parents and the people on the sidelines, you know, we you know, concussions are a part of life, you know, so you know, it's just a matter of whether you look after them or not. And like I said, I've been involved for 25 years, and I don't have a whole bunch of people coming to me now saying that their life was ruined with concussions. You know, I have a bunch of people that are young adults in the community now that are telling me that football was the greatest, you know, time of their life, and tackle football and Regina Minor football was a great part of their life, and it's made them a better person and a better, you know, made them better football players at the time, but making them better people now in the community.
Len, do you see this as an encouraging sign? Because I know your numbers have been maybe down or a little flat just because of what we talked about and maybe other priorities. And we talked about the Rough Riders not being very good in the past, so that kind of affects your numbers. Riders are getting better. And do you see your Spring League numbers with the interest there? That's an encouraging sign heading into the fall year too.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. We've got to get you know, the information out to people, though. We got to let everybody know that, you know, tackle football isn't this grave football game that you play that everybody's worried about. It's something that, you know, teaches kids about discipline and relationships, and, you know, and makes them better football players, and like I said, make them better citizens. But no, it's we're pretty excited about the new year. We've got a grade 6, 7, 8 camp that we're doing with the Regina Thunder and this you know, girls in the game camp that we're going to do. So no, we're pretty happy with what's happening.
And how's the facilities shaping up out there?
Oh, the building is outstanding. You know, it's just going to make life a lot easier. We, you know, having everything out at Lytle Field, the equipment room, the, you know, board room, everything is all there. You know, it's going to be this building that we built. We're going to give it to the city of Regina, and it's, you know, this is a building that's going to last for 100 years, and it's, you know, it's going to be an asset to the city and an asset to the citizens of Regina, not only for football, but, you know, for a lot of other things that they do in the park, you know, cross country skiing, you know, track and field, whatever. The building can be used for a lot of different things.
This guy's an asset to our community and to Regina Minor football. He's Len Antonini. This is Growing the Game, brought to you by Mako Collision Repair. Thanks, Len.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Baldy. Nice talking to you.
This has been Growing the Game with Ballsy. If you have a football story you'd like to share to help us grow the game, email Michael Ball at mball@harvardbroadcasting.com.